Hey everyone, Lawrence here. On this episode of Hot Take, we'll be concluding our three-part GOAT debate, where myself, Nat, Kuya, and a special guest AJ will take a deep dive into who the real GOAT is.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I and the guys give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. And as we all know, today is part three of our trilogy about who is the GOAT. Right now, the series is tied 1-1. Nat and Lawrence took game one with their argument saying that LeBron is the GOAT. I took game two, saying that MJ is the GOAT. But you know what? It's been unfair the last two games because it's been 2-1.
It has.
That changes today.
Right.
That changes today. Today we have a special guest. We have my boy AJ. AJ, what's up, bro? How you doing?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me. What's up?
Thank you for joining us, making this even. Now, just so everybody kind of gets to know AJ. AJ, real quick. You know, this is game three. You and I have known each other for 3 years. We've hooped together many, many times. Mm-hmm. Usually it's me assisting you, you getting all the buckets. In all the years that we've played, for example, like 2-on-2, have we ever lost?
Never. Never.
Oh, man.
Never.
I feel bad for you guys.
Undefeated.
Who did you face?
Undefeated.
Who did you face?
Right.
Super teams. That's who we face.
Exactly. Super teams.
Oh, God.
Undefeated. So, AJ, real quick, just to get to know you a little bit more, who's your favorite team?
Favorite team is the Lakers.
How long have you been a Lakers fan?
Oh, man. All my life.
So much so that you have a dog back home. What's the name of your dog back home?
My dog's name is Mamba.
Ooh.
Hey. Black Mamba.
That's kind of sweet.
Mamba. Yeah.
He's a black lab too. So safe to say, AJ, who's your favorite player of all time?
You know who it is, man. Kobe Bryant right here. Kobe Bryant.
Oh, with the Lakers shirt.
All time. Lakers shirt. Yes.
Love it.
Being a Kobe fan, right, in your opinion, who is the greatest of all time?
In my biased opinion, minus the fact that I'm a Kobe fan, Kobe to me is the greatest of all time. But the greatest of all time, it's got to be Jordan right here.
All time. Hey.
All caps.
Man, this is going to be good. 2-on-2, never lost.
We'll see.
I think me and AJ are going to take this one. It's going to be 2-1. Oh, yeah, it's going to be the series.
I'm excited.
I'm bringing in elimination game LeBron. We'll be good.
So for today's show, right, we're going to be focusing on MJ and LeBron, basically off the court, you know, who they were as people. But of course, if we go into statistics, other things, that's more than fine. Talking to AJ, he said, like, you know, he's been listening and even listened a couple times to some of the other episodes. So he's taking note. You know, he has some stuff for us. But
oh, my.
There's nothing.
Let me start off by saying this. AJ, you're down 1 in a game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go again. Go ahead.
You're down 1. Would you want Mike or LeBron taking that last shot?
Mike, no question.
No question, man.
Why?
No question.
Okay,
Here we go.
All right, so no doubt, I just want to preface this by saying I agree that LeBron is an amazing, amazing player, amazing talent, but he doesn't have that killer instinct. So that's something, I mean, I know you guys talked about mental toughness, and you guys can both agree, or all agree, that Mike has that mental toughness. And you guys also mentioned that, like, LeBron he's had clutch moments. He's had his share of clutch moments. But I don't have the statistics on me. So, one thing, I'm not a stats guy. I'm more of a emotional guy.
Sorry.
All hard, baby.
Don't quote me on anything. You can look up the stats, but so I was watching some videos of LeBron, you know, hitting his clutch shots and whatnot. And I noticed something that they were never like, not all of them, but not a lot of them at least, were like, they were down by like one or two. They were either tied or like, I mean, like I said, you can pull up the stats, but a lot of them, they're either tied and then he would go for he'll take the last shot, right? There's been times where he's made the game winner, you know, they're down one or two, I mean, clutch three, but I don't know. I mean, you could just feel it. Like, he's not up for those moments, you know? Like, I don't know. I mean, we saw it in this past finals.
You know, I agree with what AJ's saying. And here's my case.
Of course you do.
Case in point.
Right? You're supposed to.
tell me not. When you think about MJ versus LeBron, right?
Yep.
Just picture it. You're picturing it. Who has the most iconic game-winning shots?
Oh, MJ, for sure.
It's got to be MJ. Think of the probably one of the only ones that comes to mind for me for LeBron is when he was on the Cavs, you know, his first stint there in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and it was against Orlando in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
where they ended up losing. I think Orlando went on to go to the finals that season.
Right.
But he made the game-winning shot. He just chucked it up from the three and it went in. That was the only game they won that whole series. That's the only iconic shot, game-winning shot I could think of when I think of LeBron, like, clutch moments.
What about, like, all the buzzer beaters in, like, his second stint in Cleveland, right? He had the one against the Bulls falling away in the corner.
You're talking about from the three-point? Yeah, three-point line. Okay, yeah, there's that one, right?
But what, like, about the one against the Wizards, right? Kevin Love throws a full court pass. LeBron catches it, takes two steps, falling away, out of bounds, banks it in. That was a beauty. And that was down three to tie the game, extended to OT.
Right. Beautiful shot. Beautiful.
Not a game winner.
But you know what? It wasn't a game winner. And number two, that was during the regular season.
Yes, yes.
You want to talk playoffs?
Let's go.
Playoffs? All right. Let me real quick text up. John Paxton, Steve Kerr. You know those moments? You know what happened in those moments? What happened to, Jordan's shot, huh?
I got Jordan's shot for you. Ready? Ready? Michael Jordan versus Cleveland. The shot on Craig Elo, also known as the shot.
Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Fist pumping in the air, everything like that.
Right.
1998 right. Yeah. NBA Finals Game 6. The shot to basically cement his legacy, you know, solo, playing by himself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most iconic shots, the argumentative, like, oh, that's the push-off, you know, all that stuff. But regardless, he hit it. He won. They won the series because of it. Same thing with, you know, the shot against Craig Elo. Mm-hmm. That was for the series. How about Portland in the 1992 NBA Finals? Six threes in the first half with a shoulder shrug. I mean, that wasn't a clutch shot, but nevertheless, it was pretty amazing. Iconic moments.
That's fair.
So I think that's, you know, mine and AJ's argument against LeBron. You know, in regards to clutch moments, talking about moments
even though LeBron's got more buzzer beaters and, you know, more shots and a better percentage making them shots. All right, yeah, sure. Who's that more? Yeah, yeah.
You know, more. You can have all that, but if it's not in a situation where it doesn't matter, then what's the point?
Right.
All right. How about the block? Shots. Right. It's not a clutch shot. Right. But that's a big defensive play. That's, if he doesn't make that play, they might lose game seven. That might be one of the most iconic moments in finals history.
Amazing, amazing block. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is where the generational thing happens. But AJ, to you, which is more Oh, which is more iconic, the LeBron block on Iguodala or the Jordan steal on Hall of Famer Karl Malone?
Steal. Steal.
There's some bias going on here.
That's the step back. I mean, he should have made that his last shot of his whole career if he was going to retire. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, if that was going to be his last shot, a game winner in the finals? Come on.
More than iconic. Because you know what it is, right? Iconic. You know what it is? It was the steal. So defense.
Oh, right.
He stole the ball, brought it up court, then hit the shot. That's like that the whole series, like that whole sequence was MJ. After LeBron had that block, was he the one that scored coming back down? I don't remember. See, that's the thing. I don't really remember.
Free throw, though. He did steal the game with the free throw, though, at the end. But I mean, hey, who's counting?
But you have to take into consideration, too, he was on the floor. He was the last one on the other side of the court. He had to run all the way back. He had to storm all the way back, chase down Iguodala, and swat that.
Incredible. Michael Jordan left his defensive assignment of Jeff Hornacek and swiped the ball from Hall of Famer Karl Malone.
Mailman.
Stole his package. He's a porch pirate. Took his package.
Oh, how is a steal better than a block?
I don't There's some bias going
block,
on.
The steal, turned into a game winner.
Exactly.
But the block saved the game.
I mean, it's LeBron. He's 6'9", 250. Of course he's going to get blocks.
Exactly.
He's the GOAT.
What? No.
You can't say
size doesn't matter. If he's talking size, then...
Speaking of, I remember in the one, I forgot, was the first one or second one, you guys mentioned, you compared them as defensive players. And I believe it was Nat. The only thing he said was LeBron's block. and I'm like, what? Okay. Granted, LeBron gets blocks and he gets steals, but as far as like guarding, like the best players, he's not up for it. I mean, he'll do it, but he's not like Mike or Kobe. Like, they'll guard him 94 feet. They'll guard him from the very beginning of the game all the way to the end.
Yeah,
LeBron, he'll do it. You know, at the end, like, you know, oh, we got to really step it up. Like, we're about to lose, so let me go guard Jimmy Butler. Let me go guard, you know, whoever. But he doesn't take it upon himself to be the best defender and best offensive player. So that, to me, separates, you know, Mike and LeBron.
I agree because, you know, what game was that? I think it was game 4, right? It was Anthony Davis that came out and said, I want to guard Jimmy.
Right.
It was Anthony Davis, not LeBron. Right. And then you can make you can make the argument like, oh, you know, Anthony Davis had him shut down and stuff like that. But it was Anthony Davis who wanted to guard the best player. Mm-hmm. I don't recall a moment where prior to a game, LeBron was like, you know what? I want to guard their best player the whole game. I don't recall it.
I have stats on the flip side, to hear him, but
you know what? The other thing too is on the flip side, like MJ, he wanted all that smoke. You have your best player. Prove it to me. Prove to me you're the best defender. MJ attacked whatever team he faced. Right? They would throw their best defender at him. MJ welcomed it. But we talked about this in the past episode where that image of Kawhi Leonard from the San Antonio Spurs checking into the game and LeBron with some profanity.
Wait, can I drop one stat on you right now?
Let's hear it.
This is from my source here.
Is this a Reddit research right here?
Hey, that's confidential. That's confidential, right? Hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. In Jordan's defensive player of the year, so you know that year he got the award. Clyde Drexler dropped 42, 9, and 8 on him. Dale Ellis dropped 34 on him on 58% shooting. Thoughts on that?
Well, when you're talking about Clyde Drexler, that was the only scoring option for Portland. How many shots did he take per game? If you're shooting a high volume of shots, of course you're going to put up bigger numbers.
Right, right. But I mean, if you're the DPOY, you know, shouldn't you not give your other person on a team like those numbers?
Very true. So this is one thing like PJ, am I a good defender?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. What happens to good defenders when they play too hard like defense? Like do they sometimes they get beat.
They get tired a little bit sometimes. They get tired. You know? See, when you're guarding the best player.
Right.
All right, that's your excuse for Jordan.
Not only is he the best offensive player on the team, but he's also the best defensive player on the team.
That's very true. Imagine
he's going scoring bouts, but also defending the best player. Like, I mean,
yes,
we're talking about the NBA. Like anybody, the bench player can drop 50 on anybody. You know what I mean? Because they're all great. Right. So
Derrick Rose did it.
Derrick Rose did it at broken knees. So
yeah,
I mean, so that's one thing stats don't show is like a person's willingness to guard somebody, or you know what I mean? Like stats can't you can't see it in stats. I mean, some stats show LeBron, you know, oh, he has this many stops against, you know, this person in 2 minutes left in the game or something like that. But you can just see it as a player. Like you can see that LeBron's not up for the smoke. Like he don't want to guard the best player at all times because he wants to, because LeBron, I mean, LeBron's all about longevity and playing for a long time. So he wants to rest. Yeah. He rests his body. So he doesn't want to, you know, guard the small guards all the time. You know,
that's
what I mean?
A good point. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron's more worried about, I think he's more like, he's kind of like cherry picking in a sense.
Yeah,
like, a little bit.
Certain areas or certain spots in the game or in the season to like guard that person or lock him down, you know?
Yeah.
Adrian brings up a really good point because when you think about it, right, if you're exerting so much and if you're giving 100% on offense because that's the only way your team is going to win. Granted, at the time they had Scottie Pippen, John Paxson, you know, you have B.J. Armstrong, you have Bill Cartwright. But at the end of the day, you're still going 100%. Your team needs you to be 100% offensively. But then on the flip side, to do it 100% defensively at the same time throughout a 7-game series – That's tough. And nothing against LeBron, but in every championship that he's won, he's never had to be the best defensive player and the best offensive player at the same time. Because the first two championships, you have Chris Bosh and you have D-Wade. You know, you don't need to be the main scoring option. You don't need to be the main one guarding like the best player. Right, when he did it with the Cavs, you have Kyrie and you have Kevin Love. You don't need Kyrie could go off for 40. You know, LeBron was perfectly fine dropping, you know, 20, 25 if he needed to. And then defensively, you have people that could step in. And then more recently with the Lakers, he had an amazing series. I think without his scoring, they don't really – it'll be a closer series. So offensively, they needed him. But defensively, you saw – AD step up, you saw Danny Green step up, you know, where it wasn't solely on MJ to guard the opposing team's best player for the whole game or for the whole series, which what AJ was referring to Mike had to do in that 92 series against the Blazers. Okay. So I agree with that completely. To kind of segue into, you know, them as people off the court or like just in general them off the court, one of the things I wanted to bring up, right, prior to Mike, there were no global athletes. Michael Jordan comes into the picture into the 90s, right, and all of a sudden he's recognizable all over the globe. The 92 Dream Team, they go to, I think it was Barcelona, everybody sees them, everybody knows who he is, everybody's screaming for him, everybody's at the airports looking
and
for him.
And this is without social media.
With, that's exactly, thank you. I almost forgot about that.
Without.
There's no Twitter. That's tough. There's no Facebook. There's no IG. No Snapchat.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing with Mike, was that he had this draw where nobody could really compete with him or compare with him. So this is my question to you guys. I'll swing this to Nat and to Lawrence first. Let's say, for example, to you guys, who do you think has, how do I word this? Who do you think has the more, I'll say social media pull. Social media meaning, you know, not only like Facebook, Instagram, all that, but even like, let's say mass media, you know, coverage, stuff like that. Who do you think has more draw, more pull?
LeBron James. As simple as that, LeBron James. Are you kidding me?
What about you, Lawrence? I feel like you're thinking about it, Lawrence.
No, because it's like, it's not biased, but it is LeBron.
Thank you. Thank you.
What about you, AJ? What do you think?
Okay, so I don't have the stats on this completely, but I was watching a video. This is not even like, it wasn't even a video about LeBron versus Jordan, but it was a video about, they talked about views of like total amount of views. So like for this NBA bubble, they're talking about maybe like the finals had maybe 6.5 million people watching. Mind you, everybody's home. They could be watching the NBA finals. Granted, it was going on like, you know, a certain time. I think
every single sport was going on.
Yeah.
You have to mind that too.
Right. But we're talking about iconic, right? We're talking about if LeBron James is the greatest basketball player, I mean, everybody would.
But the level of competition wasn't as high, right?
So are you saying
if let's say, for example, Jordan was placed into this past year's finals where the other major sports were also live, right? Would he attract all of these views just because he is Michael Jordan? Would he be able to? You think so?
Yes.
Yes, because if you look up the stats, like the amount of views, like if a game with Jordan was on. And like, let's say there's something else going on. Nobody else would be watching anything but Michael Jordan. Okay. Even if he's playing a sorry team, everybody's watching Michael Jordan. It doesn't matter what he's doing. Everybody's watching him. No matter who he's playing, everybody's watching him. I'm a Laker fan. I didn't even watch LeBron and the Lakers play that much. Cause I'm just like,
cause you knew they'd win. Right?
Come on.
Right. Like a lot of people thought, and that's why they didn't watch.
I mean, I would win if I had another final or another person named AD on my team that I can rely on.
It was also another thing, the bubble too, I think.
LeBron.
The bubble and the environment. I feel like it was the same as, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
So here's my thing too, right? In regards to that. Let me put it to you this way, right? If it's a press conference, let's say, for example, it's a post-game press conference, reporters will literally cram the locker room just to get a soundbite of Mike and Mike only. And when he's done speaking, that's when they'll go to other players, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Can the same be said for LeBron?
I mean, he definitely gets that attention, though, for sure.
But to the same level as Mike, I don't think so. Let me put it to you this way. If you put LeBron and KD, let's say they finish the playoff, you know, a game three in the NBA Finals, and you put KD and LeBron in the same general area, same general press conference area, I'm pretty sure that media coverage would be split. Whereas if it were Mike, for sure, like look at the past, any NBA playoff game with MJ, almost any game in general, everybody wanted to hear what Mike had to say. There would literally be a flock of people waiting outside the locker room just to get a soundbite of him. And even when he would leave the arena, people would follow him to his hotel and try to get stuff there at his hotel.
Yeah.
I don't think the same could be said for LeBron because he, as big as a star as he is, he was never to the magnitude of Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan can suck the attention out of a room. Whereas with LeBron, you're going to see KD there, Kawhi, Steph Curry.
I want to bring up something too. You mentioned international presence, right? I don't know if you guys remember the 2008 Olympics. It was Kobe's first time, you know, playing with them. So when they went overseas, nobody's talking about LeBron. It was all about Kobe. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, like, people were going crazy. Like, there's this one story of this reporter that talked to Kobe one time. He talked to Kobe one time, and that bus, that taxi driver, like, started crying because he was like, "You talked to Kobe? You talked to Kobe?" And he was just, he was like, "Yep, I have." And then the guy was crying, like that. That magnitude, and like you see it in like when these players go to like China or something, or like the Philippines.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, people are going crazy for, I know this is Jordan versus LeBron, but people are going crazy for Kobe, not for LeBron. Like, so that, in that sense, as like iconic, like if you're not more iconic than Kobe, you can't be.
I agree.
You can't be the GOAT, man, compared to
that's,
Jordan.
That's actually a very, very valid point. You know, I didn't even think about that. Like, and man, I love Kobe so much. And I think globally, he was more of an global icon than LeBron. And yeah. I think that goes to show even more, like, how much more with MJ. Because again, this is prior to social media. You know, this is prior to the advancements in technology and, you know, transportation. So you got people coming by the flocks just to come see MJ, wherever he was.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got to realize his nickname was Black Jesus.
Yep.
Yes.
like, what? Black Jesus? Like, I mean, just think about that. Black Jesus. I mean, LeBron is the king. He's the chosen one. But Black Jesus, like, I don't know. That's iconic right there.
And, you know, just a little bit of a tidbit. I was listening to a segment with Bill Simmons and J.A. Adonde. And at the time, J.A. Adonde was, I think he was in L.A. The Bulls were in town for a game. And he gave a story where they were at like a, they're somewhere like having brunch or something like that. It could have been dinner. I don't remember exactly. But he's sitting with one of his friends, and then there's other people in the restaurant. And, you know, everybody's chatting, you know, like that background noise. You hear like conversations going on. And then all of a sudden, it just started to like calm down a little bit. And then it went from, you know, normal conversation and murmur to all of a sudden it's just like a low buzz. You know, and you got this weird, like, tingling feeling, as J.A. put it. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And the way he somewhat described it was like, it was kind of like the calm before a storm. Like, you know, right before a storm is coming, you know. And then all of a sudden, maybe not even 5 minutes later, Michael Jordan and his crew come walking in, and everybody just swarms to Mike. Like, the room just kind of explodes. That's just the type of attention that Mike would draw, where even before he entered the room, you felt something.
Yeah.
You know, that was the type of charisma that this guy had. And like, that's the thing with MJ that I also compare and contrast between him and LeBron. LeBron got all this swag, carries himself really well, but there was just something about MJ. In Bill Simmons' book, he has an excerpt there where, man, I want to read it to you guys so bad because it's just so good. It's so good. I'll save that for another time. But basically, Mike just had this way with him where he could give you a look, he could give you a smile, and he would melt like an entire room. Or as Bill Simmons said in his book, it would be the entire arena, the whole section, you know, that he ran by. Yeah. So to me, globally, MJ is far more iconic than LeBron. Part of that being, here's my next question to Nat and to Lawrence. In your opinion, your honest opinion, who has the better shoe game?
Yeah, oh, Jordan.
That's not even debatable. Like that's you know, hands off to you guys for that. Like, that's easily Jordan.
Okay, so at least we're all on the same page about that. I was about to pull up a meme where somebody was like, "Until somebody gets beat up for a pair of LeBrons, like you can't compare it to you can't consider yourself the GOAT, because people will literally jump people for a pair of Jordans or wait in line, you know, 4 hours for a drop." outside in the cold. You know, his shoe game is just iconic, beyond iconic. Yeah.
That I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
Global. Mm-hmm. You can, I feel like you can even somebody who I myself, I've only had one pair of Jordans my whole life, but even then I can almost name every single signature shoe. You know, like I don't collect Jordans. I don't collect J's. I appreciate them. Some of them look so nice, but I can name, you know, almost each and every single one of them. And which also brings me to my next point. Who do you think has more marketability?
Expand on what, like, what do you mean by that?
Endorsements, recognizable endorsements. Just, for example, like when we say like marketability, I think Jordan wins in terms of shoes.
Right.
Everything else, who do you think is more marketable, MJ or LeBron?
I think LeBron.
Me too.
And that's not biased. Like, I think he just has that personality that's more opening, more inviting than Jordan. Like, Jordan, like, he's like that, you know, I don't care about you. I'm going to do what I got to do. But Jordan, I mean, LeBron's, like I said, very inviting.
I think in terms of marketing, they're both really good. But to a certain extent, I think LeBron James kind of carries more of a, you know, like more of a, what's it called? Like an enigma? Is that the right word for it? Enigma or like a, some kind of like feeling to him. Aura? It's more of a feeling. Yeah, an aura. I'm sorry. An aura. Yes.
Yeah.
An aura to like his personality rather than Jordan.
But has LeBron, does he have his own, did he have his own McDonald's meal?
Oh my God.
I was about to bring that up.
Come on, see, everybody.
Wait, what is the criteria for a McDonald's meal? What is that?
I'm so glad Adrian marketability. Brought that up, right?
Marketability.
Aside from Coca-Cola being one of the most recognizable brands worldwide, McDonald's is up there. Jordan was the first black athlete to be marketed by McDonald's.
Right.
Like what AJ said, you know, there was even like his own meal. Like he, prior to like all these other guys coming out, MJ was the first one. Same thing with Gatorade. I think LeBron is Powerade, which Gatorade is far more superior than Powerade. But
Very true.
That's what the athletes use.
Wait. But in that case, that's all about time. Just Jordan came first. Simple as that. Like,
yeah.
You know, LeBron obviously can't be the first McDonald's endorsement because Jordan already did it like 10, 20 years ago. That's just time. That's just how it is. You know?
But I mean, like,
I agree.
Would you, like, McDonald's is a very popular fast food chain. There's a few very popular fast food chains, right?
Right.
I'm sure if MJ wanted to market for Burger King, it would blow up.
No, but I'm saying that if LeBron and MJ were in the same time period, they were together side by side, and Jordan got that endorsement first, I'd be like, okay, yeah, true. But that's just time. He was just there first.
That's what I'm saying. Like this is what AJ was saying too. Like what we were talking about in terms of. You guys kind of disagreed in terms like in regards to MJ's personality, like, you know, he's more like, oh, I'm gonna do what I need to do type of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, his charisma was he could sell you a shirt you already own, just by the way he spoke to you, the way he treated you, the way he smiled at you.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so smooth with it,
right?
Which to me makes somebody more marketable. More likable, because a lot of people didn't know the dark side of MJ in terms of how he was in practices. Like, even the way it was just the way he said things, the way he did things. So people didn't see how the dark side of MJ in practices. A lot of people knew about the gambling situation, but him as a person outshined all of that negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, in my mind, I feel like MJ's way more marketable. He's more global. You could pick like the wackest company and like MJ will turn it into something.
Very true.
I'm telling you, like in my view, it was just all like time sensitive. But that's just me.
But like, So if LeBron is really the GOAT, like, so wouldn't it, you know, like, even in our time, like, wouldn't his name be even more marketable? Because we already, everyone already considered, you know, Jordan as the GOAT. But if he's really, really the GOAT, I mean, he would be way, way more marketable. Like, you would see, so I was at the Nike store earlier today, and I was telling my wife, like, yeah, I'm going to get on the podcast, talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron. And she was like, yeah, yeah. Does LeBron have his own, like, clothing line? I'm like, yeah, there's, like, LeBron, like, sweatpants, you know, shirts, and definitely his shoes. And then we just walk over, whole Jordan section. I mean,
that no one buys.
They wouldn't
be on the shelf if nobody bought them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure Nike knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Air Jordan brand. Like, I feel like, you know what it is? You see a lot of the celebrities, the other NBA players, you know, a lot of people who know their stuff, like, they rock the Air Jordan brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't recall, like, walking in the mall or, like, down the street and seeing somebody in, like, LeBron gear.
Great point. My wife, she mentioned the exact same thing. She was like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone wearing all LeBrons. I'm like, because nobody does.
Like, I could see somebody, like, an Air Jordan shirt, Air Jordan sweats, some Air Jordans. I've never seen somebody in full-on LeBron gear. Shout out to Elsie for that one. That's a great point. So, in your guys' opinion, let me ask AJ. AJ, who do you think in your mind is the better businessman, MJ or LeBron?
Better businessman? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about, like, total money, I mean, of course, Michael Jordan has, you know, he has way more. He's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not discrediting LeBron because, I mean, LeBron, he's a very intelligent person. And he knows, how to take care of his money. He knows he knows how to be almost like Michael Jordan in a sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can use his name to, you know.
That's actually very true. I remember a billionaire, Warren Buffett, had the chance to sit and meet with LeBron, and he said, like, this guy is going to be, you know, the next athlete to be a billionaire. I think this is before MJ became one, but because this was, like, maybe 10, 15 years ago. But even then, like, everybody knew LeBron knew how to carry himself professionally, and he had big plans for the future. I mean, you're talking Sprite, you're talking, you know, like, he was starting his shoe brand. That's very true.
Blaze his Pizza. School,
you know, like, he goes back to the community. He has what?
Blaze Pizza.
That too.
Blaze Pizza.
Good pizza.
Yeah. It's good. I like it.
It's good.
So, Lawrence and Nat, what do you guys think? Who's the better businessman?
I mean, yeah, I think obviously we know that Jordan, and, you know, him handling his money during his career, he was gambling a lot. Maybe that was, you know, the con. But I think LeBron does know, you know, more to do with money and how to properly handle it. So I'm gonna go LeBron James. I mean, he's already started a bunch of media companies, started his own school even, donates money to charity, to his own foundation, to other, you know, scholarships too. But Lawrence will talk more about that. But yeah, I think personally it's LeBron James.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm going to go LeBron too. Like, he knows, he's more smart with his money. Right? He's not out there gambling it away to try and make more money. He's going in there making the smarter investment decisions. Like we talked about investing in Blaze Pizza, and Nat touched upon all the media companies that he's doing, producing movies, TV shows, all this stuff. He's setting himself up for the future.
I mean, MJ has been very smart about his money. He has a lot of money coming in from different places. He is a gambling man. case in point being, I don't want to go too much into it, but signing Gordon Hayward to that ridiculous contract.
Oh, yeah,
that's a very, very high risk.
Very good move.
But this is something we can compare, right? MJ is the owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. He's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. Yep. LeBron is the owner, part owner of a football club, of a soccer team, mm-hmm. right? So they have that that's a similarity that they share. One of the things that stands out to me more recently is Jordan started his own NASCAR team.
Really?
And which is wild to me. He signed Bubba Wallace. If everybody remembers, Bubba Wallace was targeted racially, a few months back. And Jordan signed him. That was the first driver he signed. So Jordan, I think, is breaking barriers in the sense that NASCAR, being a predominantly white sport, is now an owner. And MJ is also one of the few NBA owners. Mm-hmm. So to me, he's breaking barriers in that sense. Of course, LeBron is doing the same, especially with his stance prior to the NBA bubble, earlier on in the summer. It's a little bit different. I think both of them are doing their thing now. During Mike's time, during his era in the 90s, he really couldn't, because players back then didn't really have a voice. It was until other players started to change that.
If you claim that Michael Jordan is a global icon for sure, but then if you say that there was no voice, of course he had to have a voice, because he was the greatest at that time. So why couldn't he use his voice at the time to
say something, make changes
of meaning?
No, I mean, I don't want to be, but I'm pretty sure Jordan's, he's had to have said, like some things, like he's had to use his. Not like use his name in a sense for like political reasons, but I'm pretty sure like he's, it's somewhere out there. I just don't know where, but I'm sure he's, like how players are doing it now. I'm sure he's had his own, he's done it his way somehow, or like in an interview or something. You know what I mean?
I remember in The Last Dance, I think it was a Senate race or a kind of like governor, or like some Senate race. And like, he was asked in an interview, I think, like, who does he side with? I forgot his name, but it was the black,
right?
Is this right? I think, I don't know. I'm going off pretty memory, but it was he was asked like, "Ooh, like, do you support this Democratic, nominee for as governor or Senate?" And he didn't choose to answer, right? Something like that. I forgot, but he didn't choose to answer,
right? So, but it's also, I think what AJ was kind of alluding to also is he was using what he had. Not necessarily by voice, but through action. I think he was breaking barriers in that sense, being the first commercialized, like, global black athlete. You know what I mean? One of the first ones to do a movie, to do Space Jam. I think that was breaking barriers too.
Iconic.
So much so that somebody's trying to replicate it.
Copy him.
So just real quick, let's go through a little bit more, some other things, right? Here's some things I have for MJ being the GOAT. I think MJ is better, aside from all the previous accolades that we had mentioned. One of the accolades that he has that LeBron does not have, aside from Defensive Player of the Year, is a slam dunk title.
Okay.
Yeah.
AJ, in your opinion, who is the better, more iconic dunker?
Oh, Jordan for sure. Jordan for sure.
See, but that's a hard comparison because LeBron never did the slam dunk competition.
Very true. So, like, pretty much, like, great players, like, they all do the slam dunk. I know it's very trivial. It's just a slam dunk contest, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just another thing to win.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's wanted to see LeBron in the slam dunk contest, myself included. Like, I've always wanted to see LeBron.
Same.
Right.
Yeah.
In it, but he never took that opportunity to do it. And I've always wondered why, like what?
Same, yeah.
What's
yeah.
so hard to about, you know, that's one thing like I wish he did, because I'm pretty sure he would win. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
And like, to me, it's like, there's a chance he could lose. You know what I mean? So he doesn't want to, he doesn't want that against him. Cause we all know he has the highest vertical in the NBA.
Yeah.
Even now, which is crazy.
Right.
But like, that's just my personal opinion. I think he's just afraid of, not like necessarily afraid of losing. He just doesn't want that chance. That
right. He could right.
lose, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think I agree completely. I think LeBron is one of the most amazing electrifying dunkers we've probably ever seen, especially because of his size and his build and what he's able to do in the air. But at the same time, I also feel like that kind of, for me personally, I think MJ is the better dunker because he was doing it at 6'6" and, you know, like 205 or 210 or whatever he was weighing. Whereas LeBron is 6'8", 6'9" at 230, 250, even though he's a bigger frame, he just produces so much power. It's kind of like Zion. You know, Zion very well could be one of the greatest dunkers ever. And it's just because he just produces so much power. But what Mike was able to do in there, I mean, bro, they created like his own shoe is of him dunking. Like, I don't think it gets more iconic.
LeBron's
than that.
Is too. Like, if you see LeBron's logo, it's that's like right. of him, but it's kind of
with the tomahawk dunk. Yeah,
it's kind of whack though. It's not. You know, it's not. I mean, honestly, like I forgot to mention this, but like I like LeBron's shoes, like as a basketball player. Like,
yes,
they're
comfortable. Yes.
They're very super super comfortable. Same.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, they're just not Jordans. You know what I mean? They're just
like for on court, I'd rock them 100%. I have a pair myself.
I got a pair right over there. So.
Me too. I have a pair too. Yeah.
But in general, like you're talking like shoes overall. Yeah, I think Jordan takes the cake on that.
Jordan's
one.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, and you know, in regards to him being on his own shoe because it's him dunking, like you go to the park or like you see in your neighborhood kids playing in the street with the adjustable rims, they lower it down so that they're able to dunk. Most kids are gonna want to dunk like MJ because it's such an iconic dunk. You know what I mean? Like they want to copy that. Whereas you have, LeBron has a lot of iconic dunks, but it's like there's no like signature dunk. You know, LeBron, Mike had like the signature dunk with the legs spread apart, the tongue sticking out. You know, that was just his thing,
right?
So aside from all those things, right? We talked about the shoes. We talked about them as owners dunking, all that good stuff. As we wrap it up here. If you could give a final argument as to why LeBron is better than Jordan, now what would it be?
LeBron is faster, stronger, just all around better than Michael Jordan as a player. If we took out the fact that Jordan was 6-0 in the finals, and let's say LeBron's like, you know, one bad run in 2011 against the Mavericks, is there any other argument you can make for him being the GOAT? I mean, but on court, not off court, obviously, but like on the court, you know, like as a basketball player, is there any other case you can make besides being 6-0 in the finals and LeBron's like, you know, whatever that happened in 2011? Is there any other case you can make?
I'm not sure I understand exactly the question. Like if you take out the six finals.
So, yes. So take out Jordan being 6-0 in the finals.
Okay.
Like not using that as a case for him being the GOAT.
Okay.
What other case can you make for Jordan being the GOAT besides him being 6-0 in the finals, basketball wise? Because that's the only, you know, go to for everyone, you know, in this debate. Oh, Jordan 6-0 in the finals. He never lost. That's just always the go to.
He's the greatest of all time because it's in his nature to win at all costs. Like he is so cutthroat. He will find every single way to beat you. Whether it be mentally, whether it be physically, or even emotionally.
But see, in that case, there are a bunch of other players too who had that same mentality. Kobe, for example, had that same mentality. So why is?
But who did Kobe copy or get that from?
No, I'm saying he's one of them. But I'm saying that if you're talking about mentality,
that's another episode.
Yeah, if you're talking about
mentality, I'm all about that one.
But I'm saying that that's all that meant, like mentality. I mean, if you want to say that LeBron came back 3-1 in the finals against the Warriors in 2016. That's also winning at all costs. So, I mean, like, again, like, that's all mentality. But other than that, what else can you really say for Jordan's GOAT, you know, case?
Well, I mean, the other thing that we talked about in the last podcast is when we were discussing all the stats and the accolades and stuff like that, one of the things that stands out to me is, number one, Mike did it in fewer years and he played more years in college. So if he had made the jump straight out of high school, or if LeBron had gone to college, mm-hmm. and then we tried to compare it that way, I still think MJ outshines LeBron because look how quickly he was able to accomplish everything.
Right.
In an era where stats,
it doesn't show everything. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, right. you can look at LeBron on paper and you can just say, wow, this man is amazing.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. on paper, like, I mean, off the charts on paper, but like as a player, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Gather my thoughts.
I don't know. Cause I mean, LeBron outshines MJ in almost every category except free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Free throw, you know, makes. But other than
but that, he's also played more years.
Exactly. And he's not even done yet.
And he's not even done not yet. Even so, done of yet. Course, he's going to have more numbers.
Right.
You know what
points,
I mean?
More rebounds.
Right. That goes to show you, like, what he's able to do. You know, like, just longevity alone makes him a good, you know, GOAT case.
That adds to his greatness, too.
I mean, he can have the GOAT stats, maybe. But, like, mm-hmm. other than stat, but
you,
I mean,
yeah, when you're talking player, this is my point, right? You can say, for example, the current heavyweight boxer, the champion of the world is Tyson Fury, mm-hmm. right? Or you can even say Manny Pacquiao. All of us being Filipino, we all love Manny Pacquiao, and there's even arguments that, you know, he's the greatest pound for pound fighter that's ever, you know, fought in the sport,
right?
Right. You could say this person was the greatest boxer. This person was, the best boxer ever. But there's only one GOAT, and that's Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. right? You could say, like, in any sport, like, oh, this person is the all-time greatest, or this person is the best player that ever played. But there's always a GOAT. LeBron could be the best. This is what my argument was in the first episode. LeBron could be the best player to ever play, but he's not the greatest. Because, like what AJ said, is not all about the stats. Mm-hmm. It's everything else that accompanies, like, that coincides with what you are, what you do, how you achieve that.
Right.
Because MJ literally started from the bottom and made his way to the top. Whereas, nothing against LeBron, you know, he had to do what he had to do. But to leave your team to play with a super team and form a super team, and then leave that super team to play for another super team, and then leave that super team to build your own super team. And like that super team is continuing to be built to this day, signing Montrezl Harrell, signing, you know, Marc Gasol, signing all these other players. Wesley Matthews.
Like, in the other episodes, Schroeder. you guys didn't think that LeBron's been on super teams like Wade and Bosch, like, come on. Kyrie and Kevin Love.
No, our AD. Our argument was that Jordan wasn't part of, like, he was part of super teams himself.
But look how that team was made. Yeah. It wasn't, like, bringing everybody in.
Right.
Jordan pretty much made Scottie Pippen. If Scottie Pippen didn't join Jordan, he would not become Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you brought that up, AJ, because even Scottie himself said he needed Jordan to make him the player that he was.
But didn't MJ say too that he wasn't anything without Pippen?
Right.
He was something.
Humble.
No, yeah, he said it himself. He said it himself. He was like, if it wasn't for Pippen, I don't know where, you know, like, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, of Pippen. Course, like, and without Pippen, he doesn't have those rings, but he had to make Pippen the way that he was in order to get that ring. He basically built Pippen. Like,
His other teammates, Jordan built his other teammates.
Yes.
I mean, you could say that LeBron carried a sorry team to the finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens after he leaves? They're still sorry, right?
Right.
What happened after Jordan first retired? What did Chicago make in the standings?
They almost went back to the finals.
They almost went back to the finals. Not saying that Jordan wasn't a big piece of it, but He made that team.
Yeah, Pippen still had a hell of a year.
But he made that team that good. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but was it just him?
No, of course. I mean, it's the coaching staff. It's everybody else. But, like, But everybody, you can ask everybody on that team, it's all because of Jordan. If Jordan wasn't there in the beginning, that team wouldn't be who they are. You know what I mean? Like,
what the culture that Jordan set in place is what gave them the success that they needed in order to make it as far as they did the following year.
Right.
So Jordan leaves and they almost make the finals. LeBron leaves and they make 10th seed at best.
That shows you what kind of player LeBron is. LeBron, he's not about building his other teammate. He makes it seem like it. Like, oh, if your teammate falls, pick him up. That's just words. Like, that's that's one thing I forgot. I wanted to mention. Like, LeBron as a person, he makes it seem as if, like, he's all like, you know, I'm team first. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he makes it seem like he's very team first, but he's not. He's very me first. Because he chooses the best opportunity for him. You know what I mean? For him to win. He doesn't make his teammates better. He gets better teammates. That's bars right there.
100%. I just made that up. 100%.
Like, he doesn't build his team. Like, you know what I mean? Like Kobe stayed with the Lakers forever. Like, even through the bad times.
Right.
But LeBron is such a drama queen. You know what I mean? Like, he has to announce where he's going. This is my decision. I'm going to Miami to join Wade and Bosh. Like, come on, man. Like, and like, just other things that LeBron does, it just irritates me. Like, if he didn't do, like, if he wasn't like a crybaby, if he wasn't a drama queen, I might, you know, consider him as a GOAT, but like, there's just things that stats don't show, which is one of my main things. I told PJ in the beginning, I'm not a stats guy, but like, I'm more of like an emotional, like I'm a player, like I can see it.
Yeah.
And you could just see like LeBron, he's just not a good player. Like, I mean, you wouldn't, he's just not a good teammate. I mean, he's a great player, but he's just not the GOAT.
And I know exactly what Nat was going to say, right? Like, oh, that proves my point. When he left the Cavs, you know, look where they dropped off completely. Didn't even make it into the playoffs. But I agree with AJ in the sense that Mike gave his teammates the confidence that they needed, that if he wasn't there, they were still going to believe in themselves and prove everybody else wrong. Like, he instilled that mindset, that same cutthroat, I'm going to kill you on the court mindset. Even after he left, everybody else still had that mindset. You know what I mean? As soon as LeBron left Cleveland the first time, the whole city just, like, they almost burned to the ground. Like, they were tearing things down, burning stuff in the street.
But that shows you how great he is, LeBron James. That shows you how great he is.
No doubt. The team. No doubt.
You know, like,
I mean, but people burning his jersey, like, is that really great? Is that greatness?
Mike, nobody would ever burn
Mike's jersey. One, it's expensive. And two, it's Michael Jordan. I mean, how many jerseys we had to get for LeBron, you know?
I also want to say this, though, about LeBron. I don't think MJ has ever faced this amount of slander, this natural slander that LeBron gets.
Yeah.
You know, like, from everybody. Like, I don't know, like, to me, I've seen, like, LeBron just constantly get hated on. Got called the Wash King in 2018, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, like, people just always hate on LeBron. MJ, at his time, I don't think anyone wanted to, like, you know, like, dish that out. Maybe because it's like social media. Maybe that's why. Because, like,
you have social media, you know, different eras. But, you know,
everyone knew that Jordan was the GOAT. Like, even the players that he were playing at the time, like, they knew, right? But, like, if you ask, like, NBA players, PJ sent me a video of this the other day. It was like, who do you have as, like, what was it? Like, who's the best player? Like, Kobe or LeBron? Like, this is when Kobe was playing, like, prime. Right. Yeah. LeBron is still at his prime. Almost 90% of the players in the NBA agreed that Kobe was the best player.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't happen in Jordan's era. Everybody would say Jordan is the best player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, so to me, that's another thing. Like, players know. Like,
right.
Players just know, like, who really is the best. Like, I mean, stats, I mean, yeah.
Exactly. It's more than stats.
It's more than stats.
Right, right.
It's more than the game.
To kind of go off of what AJ's saying too, right? Like, think about it this way. If you look at, like, rappers, you know, hip-hop artists, who's the one rapper that everybody warns you not to go after? Who's the one rapper that everybody's like, you don't want smoke with him?
Eminem.
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah.
MJ is the Eminem of the NBA world.
People don't want smoke with MJ. You don't want it. You talk trash to him, like, you're getting beat. You're getting beat.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so petty. He's so petty. Him and Chris Paul did an event.
That's right.
And Chris Paul challenged him.
Yep, yep.
If you miss one, all these kids get a pair of Jordans. He made every single shot.
Yep. Yep.
You don't challenge.
See, like, that's the thing with, like comparing him to Eminem in that sense, you know? Like, they're just so great. Nobody wants to go after them. Nobody wants to – they don't want that smoke. They don't. Yeah. Like, you don't go after MJ. And I think when you have that persona, when you give off that vibe, when you have that aura around you, that's what makes you the greatest player. It's not – you could have the most amazing stats. That'll make you the best player, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm. Floyd Mayweather is undefeated in the boxing world. Undefeated. The best boxer. Muhammad Ali has some losses, but he's still considered the greatest of all time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I see what you guys mean.
I just want to end on this, right? If we are to bring in stats, whatever the case may be, and I hate to kind of bring, you know, putting that on the spot here.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
But
Lawrence, help me out here.
If you're talking about
yes, sir.
Stats, if you're talking stats, right? To me, MJ for sure is the greatest of all time, because the one thing that MJ has done that LeBron has never done, and I even put Kobe a little bit ahead of LeBron on this, is that LeBron has never three-peated. Kobe's three-peated, MJ's three-peated twice. Not once has LeBron been able to do it. If you're the greatest of all time, right, you can make the argument, like, with the Warriors, they almost three-peated. They were a couple injuries away from three-peating. They would have been the greatest team. Not necessarily, you know, Steph wouldn't have been the greatest player. KD wouldn't have been the greatest player. I was talking to my dad about this, and he believes LeBron is going to play well into his 40s. And the reason why he's going to do that is he wants to be able to three-peat at least once before he retires. Because mm-hmm. I think above everything else, that's probably the one thing – one of the main things Mike has over LeBron is that Mike has three-peated. Not just once, he did it twice.
Competition. Who did he face?
Did he face
a team like the Warriors?
We went through this.
Did he face a team like the Warriors? Name a team that's better than the Warriors that Jordan faced. LeBron
should have
been a
team. He should have made his team better than the Warriors. He should have made his team How? The team.
You can only get so many people to come to Cleveland, right? You can get anybody you want to go to San Francisco.
So many people to come to Cleveland.
When you have the snake KD join that team, how can you beat that team with what he had? With what he had.
The Raptors did it.
If he's the GOAT, he would have beat him.
So are you saying that if Jordan's team, his let's say 96 team, for example, faced the Warriors, they would beat the Warriors?
100%. Jordan is
not. Yes. Not 100%.
Jordan is not losing. You're telling me
if you're
me
doing
Jordan,
a seven-game series.
A seven-game series.
Bulls are winning.
That is.
Bulls are winning.
Oh, my God.
No doubt about it.
You guys do not.
I don't know about like, that.
It's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. He will find every single way to beat you. And that's why I would never, ever bet against Michael Jordan.
Man.
See, I don't know about 100%, but it's not that clear cut.
Right.
I think it is.
I think KD is more killer than MJ. That's just me, though.
The Bulls. Oh, my God.
That's a hot take. That's right. That's right. I said that.
The Bulls, especially that season, were a better defensive team than the Warriors. I think you can spread the floor all you want. The Bulls are going to figure out a way to beat you defensively and offensively.
I don't know, because that offensive power.
How many scoring titles does KD have?
Again,
he's still playing.
Who he had to face?
He's still playing.
Faced. Oh, my gosh. This man faced ice cream truck drivers for crying out loud. Jesus.
Okay, now what are you guys talking about? You guys are just listening to memes now. Like, you guys really, like if you put, if you, okay, look.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad you guys mentioned that because I remember you guys mentioned last episode that this is a generation of flopping.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know how you guys try to use that to defend LeBron, but it was not good. Anyways. Let's stick LeBron in the 90s, right?
Right.
Let's stick him in there. He would not survive. He would not survive. He would cry. Like, if someone touches him, he would cry. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
that's very true. I never thought about that. That's like, very true.
Stick him in the 90s, he's not surviving. Even though he's 6'9", 250, 260, the most athletic player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's still, like, he's like a baby on the court almost. You know what I mean? Like,
you go against the Bad Boy Pistons or the New York Knicks.
Oh, man. He's gone. Like, he got upset with, like, Kawhi guarding him. Imagine the Bad Boy Pistons guarding him. Imagine him driving to the lane and getting knocked down. Like, he would
every time.
Mentally, he would be gone.
Yeah.
Mentally, he would be gone. It might be a generational thing, but I think LeBron survives.
I think your approach, your approach is more mental, but I think Lawrence and I are just proving it stat-wise.
Yeah, like results.
Results rather than emotional appeal.
But at the end of the day, I feel like stats, like AJ says, stats don't even matter.
I mean,
all right. How about this? This like the expectations on both of them coming into the league, right? And then throughout their career, I think, all right, LeBron's standard and his expectations were set so high, right? He was called the chosen one coming out of high school, right? He was supposed to be the GOAT, right? Anything less than that, he failed. Right? Jordan didn't have those high expectations. So when he exceeded them, everyone's like, oh, wow. He's the GOAT because of that. Right? Do you think that affects them in any way? Like the GOAT conversation?
I disagree because when Jordan was drafted, he was drafted to be the savior of Chicago because the Bulls were complete garbage up until that point. So to save an entire city, just like LeBron did, you know, LeBron had to save an entire city. The only difference is the Cavs in the 90s were a formidable team. You know, prior to MJ being in Chicago, they were nothing. They were nothing. So I feel like when you're talking, you know, to your point, I just feel like in terms of pressure, right? MJ's second year in the league breaks his foot. May not even, like, that could have ended his career. But what does he do? He comes back and he plays and has one of the greatest careers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're trying to compare pressure, the only there's so many people that have pressure put on them. After LeBron, you know, there was always the next, you know, who's the next one? Who's the next one? Who's the next one? Zion Williamson is facing that right now. You know what I mean? Every player, not every player, but at some point in time, every generation, there's a certain player that's put on. Even prior to LeBron coming into the league, it was Vince Carter. That pressure was put on Vince Carter. People were like, oh, he's going to be the next MJ. You know, and when he wasn't, it was like, oh, okay, here comes this kid LeBron. He's going to be the next MJ. It was always who's going to be the next Michael Jordan. Even when Kobe first came into the league and it was towards the end of Mike's career, you know, it was almost like, oh, he's passing the torch on to Kobe. You know, Kobe's going to be the next MJ. Mm-hmm. So the only reason why the pressure is put on, for example, LeBron James to be the greatest of all time was only because it was already well known and cemented that Mike was the greatest of all time. And if you say like, oh yeah, this kid's going to be amazing. Okay, prove it. Is he going to be better than Michael? Like everybody's compared to Michael Jordan almost.
Right. Nobody compares to LeBron.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. Nobody, that's the pressure. Like he had, I mean, he wears number 23. Like he himself wants to be Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Like
to be like, you don't hear like, oh, is Kevin Durant going to be the next LeBron James? You know, he's also a 6'9", you know, wing. Is he going to be the next? You never heard that. Kawhi Leonard,
you know, the 6'8" shooting guard, small forward from San Diego State University. Is he going to be the next LeBron? Like, no. People were trying to compare Kawhi to Michael. They were trying to compare him to Michael.
It's because of that mid-range game. But okay.
LeBron has no mid-range game. I'm glad we're talking. I mean, oh gosh, I don't want to get started.
So I don't know, man. I feel like, AJ, I think our win streak continues. I don't think we've ever lost.
Oh, wait, hold on. Two on two. One second. We have to let our viewers decide, man. We have to let our viewers decide for this one. I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, we have to see what our viewers think, especially after our arguments this evening, which I think was really fun.
It was great.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody brought valid points. AJ, thank you for having my back.
Thank you, AJ. You were awesome.
Thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me, man. This was amazing. I just want to say you guys are awesome. I listen to all the podcasts. I think you guys are doing great. I'm a big fan, so glad to have been on here.
And hopefully we get you on a couple more times. So before we go, just last thoughts, last anything. Nat, you got anything?
I'm good. This was a fun debate. I loved it. For sure. Definitely more debates to come. Hopefully not goat related, but hopefully.
Sure. What about you, Lawrence?
I had a lot of fun with this. I guess maybe to be continued. LeBron's still playing, so we'll see what he does until that happens.
How about you, AJ? Any shout outs or plugs that you want to give, like the Mamba Den or something?
Oh yeah, shout out to the Mamba Den. That's where actually I'm recording right now. If you guys can,
This is my
gym.
That's awesome,
you know, Mamba Den.
It's kind of sweet. Home gym.
Yep. That is awesome.
If you guys need a trainer, holler at me.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, sir. Three of us gotta go meet up with AJ. I think I speak for all of us when I say Lawrence is probably in the best shape between the three of us. Yes. So he might fare better than the rest of us. So before we sign off, I just want to give a quick shout out to Kaylin Pachente. She's a friend of ours. She's from Bergen, New Jersey. She's currently in the Philippines with her husband. For people who don't know, the Philippines was hit by a devastating typhoon where a lot of places have been flooded. A lot of people have lost their homes, lost their lives. This has been a very tragic event for the whole country. I believe the name of the typhoon is Goni. But our friend Kaylin is out there in the Philippines right now. She's doing wonderful work, reaching out to people who are in need. So we just want to let everybody know, if you want to contribute, donations, anything like that. It doesn't have to be a lot. It could be literally anything that you want to give, because anything will help. We can send our help to Kaylin. Her Venmo, which is the main way that she's been able to help people, her Venmo is at C8TALINA, basically at Catalina. For everybody listening, if you want to help, please do. If not, that's okay too. Just a shout out to Kaylin and her husband and her in-laws for everything that they're doing to our fellow men in the Philippines. With that said, until next time, everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned for the next episode.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original, produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.